Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. We're glad that you're here today. When I looked at Pastor Troy's scriptures that he had listed out on his sheet, one of them ended up with 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. And that always reminds me of that hymn, "Oh, how I love Jesus." So that's how we're going to start out this morning with just our voices. Will you sing with us?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Sing that again.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
With our brothers and sisters, please. Let's make our way back to our seats. Last week we did a song for the first time. You can remain standing. I'm going to talk to you for just a second, read a scripture, and then we'll go to God in song. But last week we did a new song that we haven't done before that's called "Your Love Defends Me." And one of the songs that our church responds to so well is "Hold Us Together," "Love Will Hold Us Together," and that's by Matt Maher. Well, that same gentleman wrote this song with someone else, but the song is called "Your Love Defends Me," and I watched a little bit about it, like a story behind the song thing, and he talked about Psalm 91 and that song, "Eagle's Wings," and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, and that scripture is where this song came from. So I wanted to read to you just a little bit of Psalm 91. This is where "Eagle's Wings" comes from, and also "Your Love Defends Me." He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. When I chose this song and this scripture, it was before I was even aware of what was going on in the South. And just as God is our defender, and as he protects us, and he is our shield and our rampart and our stronghold, we claim that here, but imagine how those who are in the South are claiming that right now. So we just pray their blessing over them as we sing this morning, Your Love Defends Me, and I think that we sing this for us, but we sing it even more so for them this morning.
You are my joy, you are my song, you are the defense me.
God, you are our portion and you are our salvation. You're the stronghold, you're the fortress, you're the mighty one. You're the one that we run to in times of trouble, the one that covers us with your wings. We stand in your shelter, Lord. And as I said this morning, we sing and we speak in the name of those who are going through such turmoil and devastation and fear right now. And I pray, Lord, that that time would, in all of the tragedy, that those who are part of it would be drawn closer and nearer to you, because you are the stronghold. You are the rock and the one that we stand before this morning. Father God, as we worship you, I pray that you would use the music, the words that we sing, and the things that we speak. I pray that you would use those to open our hearts to see you in such a clear way. By your Holy Spirit, Father, take our hearts. They're yours. As we sing to you this morning, let us know your presence. And we thank you, Father, for each person that's come through the doors. Thank you for Aldersgate Church and for Pastor Troy and the teaching that goes on here. Give us the good sense to listen today for the good word that you have for us. Speak, Lord. We're here to listen. We love you and we stand before you in worship this morning. It's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.
with all creation I sing, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
We've got a couple extra things going on today in worship. We've the celebration of some new folks joining the church body, and then the presentation of Bibles will be just a little bit later on. So because of that, we're going to combine the prayer time and the offering today. There are several prayer shawls and blankets up here on the kneeler. I invite you to come forward and pray over those if you feel led to do that. One is for Bruce, who is grieving the death of his mother. Anne, who has stage 4 lung cancer. Chris, who is undergoing surgery and radiation and chemotherapy. And Roxy, who has cancer. So lots of needs. And those shawls are up here for you to come up and pray over if you feel led to do that. If the ushers will come forward, we'll give to God his tithes and our offerings.
Speak. Lord God, the music oftentimes is a gift from you to attune our hearts together, to tune them as one, that we might sing your praise. Lord, we confess that often we get it switched around. We think that just singing your praise is what you really want from us. But you want our hearts. You want our minds. You want our lives. And the music and the praise is just an instrument and a tool of worship to get us to the point of full surrender and constant victory. Help us to never forget that, Lord. Grateful as we are for the instrument of music, Lord, here we are. May your Holy Spirit attune our hearts in the ways of Christ's teachings, that we might walk and live and be at work and employed with the ethic of Jesus and how he commissioned and commanded us to be one with another. Might that be our ultimate worship. As we gather this day, Lord, we echo the prayers Sherry offered up for those in the midst of harm's way with the hurricane and those in the midst of recovery. Heavenly Father, may your hand of blessing and deliverance and sustenance be upon all the emergency responders and everyone who reaches out to another human being in this time of extreme need. We thank you for ministries of the church, including the United Methodist Committee on Relief that already is on the ground in Florida and will be continuing in the Southwest for months and years to come as rebuilding occurs. Lord, your scripture reminds us that this world is not our ultimate home, and yet when we live this life, it's so easy to count the things we have as our ultimate blessing and our security. And when those are all gone, including our health, we sometimes wonder what is left. In those moments, Lord, your scripture again teaches us that your Holy Spirit never abandons. And nothing separates us from your love. So we ask that in the midst of the pain, not that the pain was your purpose, in the midst of the loss, not that you orchestrated the loss, but in the midst of the need, Lord God, we pray that we and others who practice the name of Jesus, who lift the name of Christ as our Savior and Lord, that we might become instruments that glorify you and meet practical needs to build your kingdom come. Anoint us in this gathering. We rejoice in the children in their households about to be receiving Bibles as they enter fourth grade. And we also, Lord, rejoice at the fresh set of eyes given to us by those who've come among us and want to be part of this faith community. Imperfect as we are, Lord, bind us in your perfect love that we might rise as a resurrected people in humility and overflowing grace and with the saving word of Jesus for the world this week. In his name, amen. Melanie Feldner, our Director of Children's Ministries, will come forward at this time and will lead us in our presentation.
Good morning. Bigger group than 8 o'clock. I'm an 8 o'clock worshiper, and I came in, I was going to sit in the back row. In the back, I was like, wow, the church is full. I have the privilege of being the person who gets to facilitate our Trailblazer ministry. That is children from birth through fifth grade. It's just an amazing experience, an amazing journey. And as I look out around this room, I hope that many of you will take an opportunity to join us, to volunteer, to participate. There are so many great, great experiences, and it's such a blessing to be a part of it. And what has quickly already become one of my favorite parts of it in my new role is this Bible presentation to our fourth graders. When children enter fourth grade, fourth and fifth grade is the last couple of years in Trailblazers before they enter our youth group. And they're called Summit Seekers. And the Summit Seekers have their own group, their own Sunday school room, and it's just really a great opportunity for them to continue in their spiritual journey. And so we, the families and the church, would like to present them with a Quest Bible that is just an excellent Bible for all of us. I love the Bible. It's a really great one. And today is the day where the families continue to show their commitment. I want to thank all of the families for committing to have their children walk in this faith journey with all of us. And so today, they will be joined up here with Pastor Troy and I to receive their Bibles. So what I'm going to do, families and children, as I call your name, please join us up here. There are 18 total. There are 18 total. Now, two of them were already recognized and received their Bibles at 8 o'clock, but it's just such a blessing. And the most fun part, the thing that I said is quickly becoming my favorite activity, is we traditionally do a slideshow of each of our new Summit Seekers as infants, as babies. And putting that slideshow together was awesome. But as the fourth graders told me last week, they're not as impressed. But I know that you will all enjoy the slideshow of them as they entered this world and now as they journey into becoming Summit Seekers and continue on their faith journey. So we'll start the slideshow, and as I call your names, kids, bring your families up here with you, and we'll get ready to do the Bible presentation. And families, bring your Bible as well. Okay. Sarah Bear. Addison Buckman. Preston Buckman, come on up. Brooks Klein. Chelsea Coburn. Abby Goudreau. Michael Gonzalez. Cameron Hobday and Chelsea Hoover that you saw were here at 8 o'clock. Gavin Miller. Emma Nagy. Isabella Nicola. E.J. Rosario, Ryan Siebert, Connor Thomas, Kelly Thomas, Hannah Turner, Logan Wagner. And the slideshow will continue to play because I think it'll be really cool now to see if you can match faces to the baby pictures. They haven't really, they're going to just not like me for saying this, but they haven't changed very much. Sorry, guys. So Pastor Troy, is if the children would stand up on this first step, facing out to the congregation, spread out.
And Melody, I don't know, are there any that weren't announced?
I had a couple of, are there any fourth graders that want to join us? I have Bibles.
I didn't hear.
Okay.
Lift up her name then, too.
Ainsley Rutt.
If you'll go ahead and start passing those around. Yeah. Last week was part one of a two-week worship series on the works of worship. And we handed these out last week. You may still have a copy. You might benefit from a second one. But if you didn't have one last week, we certainly invite you to get one, have one today. We're coming to, in a few moments, time of celebrating those who have been led by the Holy Spirit to say they want to be part of this faith community. The theme is the work of worship and worship works, and there's two parts to it. The left-hand side of that has to do with the works that we, as followers of Christ, are to assess ourselves on. Our availability to worship, our pliability, and our vulnerability sandwiched right in between that. One flows into another. We cannot become vulnerable for the work of God in us unless we make ourselves available. And we can't become pliable unless we've taken a look at our vulnerabilities and acknowledge that we need Jesus now more than ever, individually and as a world. I'm not going to go down through and review all of that because our time is limited, and that message is on the internet, on our website, www.aldersgatechurch.net. I encourage you, if you were not present last week, to listen to that. Not that it's great preaching, but that it's great truth, biblical truth. And that will help you complete one of the essential discipline tasks that I'm offering, which is your heart check. We do heart checks, cardiac checks for our bodies, but we need to pause and do a spiritual mind and heart check for our souls. And it really does become a fulfillment of that chorus we sang. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. So last week we looked primarily at our called works. Are you available? If you're not available to gather, if you don't make yourself available, sacrificially schedulized to be involved in service and witness and small group studies and corporate worship, if you're not maximizing your availability, you are shortchanging the call of Christ in your life. There's no way to fudge that. 15 years ago, people considered regular worship presence as the body of Christ to be, well, I'm there, you know, three times a month. About 7-8 years ago, it was, well, if I'm there maybe once a month. And more recently, studies are indicating that people are saying, well, I'm a regular participant in the faith community's life. And I'm regularly involved in church if I'm there once every 5 or 6 weeks. That's failing on our work of committing to be in worship, in study, because God happens in these moments. God teaches, God grows. That leads to our vulnerability. If we only think that the rest of the world needs Jesus, we haven't really been real available to God, because the Spirit will convict us that you and I need Jesus. Even though we know Him, we need Him on an ongoing basis. And we cannot become pliable. We cannot become that scriptural clay in the potter's hands unless we participated by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness. As God recreates us in His image, we become pliable. Today, we focus on the works of the Holy Spirit, which are part and parcel of our works, but which are impeded if we're not available, vulnerable, and pliable. And these both come out of scripture from Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to invite us to read that together. Would you join me? In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time from the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." Pay him homage is the NRSV translation, basically to worship him, to lay down my life before something more powerful, more majestic, more worthy than myself and my thinking and my view. Both of them said it. "I want to go worship him." The wise men said it. They had much to risk and lose and sacrifice. And indeed, they did. They even faced ridicule in their own cultures. And then you had Herod, who said, "I want to go worship him too." But Herod's motivation was for his own, perpetuating his own power. It was to take on anything that might be threatening his world view. We can all say when we join the faith community, I oftentimes say, no one stands here with a gun or a weapon and says, "You have to answer by my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, my witness. I'll be a faithful disciple of Christ and member of his faith community." No one forces you to do that, at least in this congregation. But when we do it, we say it in the presence of a holy God who holds us accountable for that which we say we want to be part of. Being a Christian isn't an event, it's a journey. It takes a lifelong interweaving. And part of that journey has to do with our ongoing conversion. When are we saved? It's not biblically true to say we are saved just in a moment. We are saved by grace. We are saved by God's action. But God's been coming toward us, saving, seeking to save us for a long time. And in that moment of commitment, we can claim it. But our salvation continues on, Paul says, working it out with fear and trembling. Peter says, being built into a new spiritual house, growing, becoming more of what Christ calls us to be. Isaiah chapter 6 offers a wonderful image of what happens convertibility-wise. When we are available and vulnerable and pliable, we see some amazing things that God is up to. I don't know if you think it's all that amazing, but I, as a pastor in 2017, find it amazing that we have 18 households of fourth graders and their parents gathered and writing their own personal note and saying, "I believe this is so important, I'm committing to you, I'm giving you this Bible, and I know you're looking at me to show you Jesus." I think that's amazing. That's a movement that's not going to get any fireworks displays. It's not going to get any Fox News alerts or CNN breaking news alerts. But to me, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is alive, even in this place. Any amens to that?
Amen.
So if we're available to gather, we never know what God may have in store. It might not be the music that you wanted that day. It might not be the great preaching that you're searching for. But if the gospel of Jesus is lifted up and people gather in Jesus' name, you will be moved by God's movement in and through others. It amazes me every week when I look at John back here, and he's, for most of John's life, you wouldn't have been in worship probably. But John has found the love of Jesus, and he drives miles and miles and miles. I can drive for miles and miles and... And John, that inspires me. God uses you to inspire me, and then that's a connection, because it goes back to Rick and Debbie and their nurturing of you and your wife. And then that goes, and I see how Rick and Debbie nurture their little granddaughter, who's not so little anymore, Kayla. You see, we're all interconnected. We are converted. And we're able to do what Isaiah did when he saw the holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the angels of heaven singing about God's glory in the temple. And Isaiah responds, "Woe is me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I see the ministries going on here, and I don't think, man, aren't they lucky? They got a good pastor. It ain't about the pastor. It's about the Savior, and it's about the Holy Spirit present. I look at it, and I'm humbled and say, who am I to be participant, privilege in such a movement of Christ as this? Those of you that know me, you know that's where my heart is. When I see the church of Jesus be the church of Jesus, there's nothing more holy in the world in my sight and in your sight and in Isaiah's sight. And it causes us to look inward. Good news is John 14:26. Will you read it with me? "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you that all I've said to you." God's not done with me yet. Amen?
Amen.
God's not done with us yet. Amen?
Amen?
Has Christ actually ever changed your thinking? If not, you're not following Jesus, because there was only one, and it's a lifelong journey to take in his teachings. What teachings of Jesus really get under your skin? What teachings of Jesus irritate you? Think about that. That's where the Spirit wants to be working. I could go through a bunch of them. Why don't you just start flipping through the Gospels? Find what teachings of Jesus irritate you. And you might be real dressed up and say, well, it doesn't irritate me. I just don't think that's practical today. You know, we explain it away. Blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah, but that means like when heaven comes. Blessed are the merciful. But that's not how we get ahead and how we determine who great people are in our culture. Find where your resistance is to Jesus' teaching and tarry there. And you will be converted. Perfectibility. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, not too many of us are bold enough to walk around and say, I don't have any sin. Most of us do it in more of a sly way. Did you see that person's sin? Look at that group of people. They're just... But really what we're saying is, I'm there and they're there. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears hasn't reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. I'm convinced that fear really is what lies at the heart of most of our sin struggle. Fear is also what keeps us from being perfected in God's love. John Wesley, the forerunner of the Methodist movement, absolutely believed these scriptural teachings that we could be perfected in this life. Now, hear this clearly. It's not saying we can become a perfect person. That's not what Jesus means and what the writers of the New Testament mean. What it means is God's perfect love can take us over. It can take us over and take us captive in a moment where we actually live out the way of Jesus. How many of you are afraid to forgive because if you risk forgiving, maybe you'll get hurt and messed over again? Perfect love casts out that fear and brings us to forgiveness. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "We rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. This is what we pray for, that you may become perfect." Not a perfect person, but perfected in love. Hebrews chapter 6, 1. Let us go on to perfection, leaving behind the basic teachings of Jesus as our foundation, but go on that we might grow in his love, perfecting. 1 John 2, 5, whoever truly obeys his word, truly in the one, is the one that the love of Christ has reached perfection. The Christ ethic becomes more and more part of our living. How do we assess the Spirit's work in us and if we made ourselves available, vulnerable, and pliable? Ask yourself, do I believe Christ's love can make me perfect in moments of this life? When those of us who are ordained as pastors in the United Methodist Church, the bishop stands before us and says, do you expect to become perfect in this life? They had to coach us on the answer. The answer is yes. And I'm like, anyone that knows me knows I am not perfect and I have a long way to become a perfect person. That's not the question. The question is, do you expect to be made perfect, that God's external love in Christ and the Spirit will invade you and that will make you decide not to gossip in that moment, make you decide not to act on that sensual sin, make you not to idolize money and wealth, make you hold your tongue. The Spirit of Christ can make us perfect when it invades our being. Do you believe you could be made perfect in the moments where you make yourself available to God to do that? That's teaching of our church. You can be made perfect. I know I shouldn't say this, but you ever start that line? The Holy Spirit, if you've been available, vulnerable, and pliable, the Holy Spirit will shout crescendos to you, then shut your mouth. I've heard it. The Holy Spirit will say, Troy, shut your mouth. It's a great thing to hear because it means I'm being perfected in love. Communicability. Do you know you're all carriers. You're either carrying a disease against Jesus or you're carrying a contagious, the antidote for salvation. Communicability. The warning comes in Romans 2. You have no excuse, O man, you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Do you presume on the richness of kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Don't forget how you came to repentance, if indeed you've walked that journey. It's because of God's amazing grace, so don't you dare judge and withhold it from someone else. That kindness, grace, is what makes repentance possible. And then Romans 12, communicable. You want to be a carrier of Christ as opposed to the disease that causes people to hate Jesus and his church? Memorize this and ask the Spirit to make it part of your fabric. Would you join me? So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. What a powerful passage. Paying homage, true worship, and the work of worship, the Spirit works in you and meets the world. Honestly, ask yourself, are you a judger? Are you a divider? Romans 2, 1 to 29 warns against that. Are you a glutton of grace? What's a glutton of grace? Oh, I got Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus forgives my sins. He washed me. I'm okay. I'm not going to hell. I'm in the... But you, a glutton of grace, consumes it like Herod wanted to consume Jesus for his own benefit. A conveyor of grace knows that the grace made the relationship with Jesus possible and then seeks to pour that out. Romans 12, 1. We have 11 people uniting with the faith community today, and on that insert in the back side, I encourage you, I'd like you to get a glimpse of what they've noticed in this faith community. I'm not going to read through all of them, but I think some of them confirm that maybe God is alive here and doing some things. The third one down, I love the phrase, He has opened our minds and softened our hearts and souls. Boy, if that's a witness for this church, I'll take it. Would you? In a world and culture that's building the walls of division, and the closed-mindedness and the hard-heartedness, that sounds like a work of the Spirit. I like the one, I like them all, but I wanted to point out the one here, I saw the outward focus of Aldersgate's purpose help me to understand, I feel an alignment with Aldersgate on a spiritual level. This is the phrase that I just want to put up in lights. I wasn't looking for an institution to help me go through the motions, but rather a community to help me on the journey. You can't do it without prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness, without people being people. I felt welcome here. I also feel the Spirit of God over and over again. I invite for reprofession of faith and for joining the church as a committed member of the body. I invite these persons to come forward. Darlene Zach did this at 8 o'clock. This morning we have Terry Engdahl, Sharon Engdahl, if you would come up. Scott Humes, Holly Cope, Stephen Miller, Megan Miller. Stand up here, either side, and face forward. Lisa Rodrigo, Kira Shelton, Steve Wallace, Susie Wallace, and as I said, Darlene Zach. And if you take a look at the last one, there's people in your life circle that God's expecting you to bring in. People bring people to Jesus. Who have you brought? Who are you bringing? How are you expanding the net of the good news of our God? We rejoice in your presence today. Terry and Sharon are here. They're a worship at 11 o'clock, but they wanted to be here with much of the rest of the group to celebrate their presence. And I think Scott and Holly are going to hang around and offer your presence to them at 11. I ask you on behalf of the church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your own sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, oppression, in whatever forms they show themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus as your Savior, putting your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Jesus as your Lord in union with the church that is open to all people? If so, say, I do. Will you continue to be faithful members of Christ's universal church and do all that you can to uphold the ministries of the United Methodist Church through which God has brought you here? If so, say, by God's grace, we will.
By God's grace, we
will. Will you, by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, be faithful members of this faith community? Now, before you answer that, by your prayers, that means, will you pray for the faith community, its leadership? Not just when you like what's going on, but maybe when you're troubled. Your presence. I know this group. This group is uber present as we gather for worship. To be present means that we're disciplined to come together and to check in and see what God's up to. Your prayers, your presence, your gifts. When you say yes to this, I want you to think about how you always wanted to give to God, how you always wanted to give of the best of God that God has poured out. And when you get back to your seat, I want you to reach in your neighbor's wallet or pocketbook and give like you never gave before. No. That's just to make a point. The point is, God doesn't care what someone else is giving, and He's not asking you to compare that. God's given you and me everything. And it's not wrong for the pastor of your congregation to say, if you aren't inventorying how much you're giving to God's ministries in Christ, if you don't know if it's 1%, or a 0.5%, or 8%, or what? If you don't even know that, you're not making yourself available. I'm not saying the church needs your money. If you think the church needs it, keep it. It's God's. But we commit to this. The gifts God gives you include our finances. Your service means we don't do it alone, we do it one with another, and then witness in Jesus. You give a witness in your everyday, ordinary life. If you'll do those things, other than the pocketbook reaching, say, by God's grace, we will.
By God's grace, we will.
Church, do you affirm that the Holy Spirit has been moving to bring these people among you to renew your love for Christ and renew your commitment to His church? If so, say, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm going to invite each of you to come up here momentarily as we pray over you. And I'll start with Steve and Susie. Why don't two of you come up? Church, I do this because I think it's important that we, if you're able to kneel, I invite each of you to kneel. We just have a moment of laying on of hands and praying over them. Susie, having been born by water and spirit, having entered the covenant that is Aldersgate Church, may you continue to grow all the days of your life to be a faithful member of God's church and a witness for Jesus in the world. And all God's people said, Steve, having been nurtured by the water and Spirit, may you continue to grow, having professed Christ yet again, and become covenant partner in this ministry that we know as Aldersgate. May that growth continue all your days and all your ways, that his ways may infuse your life and your witness. And all God's people said, amen. I invite you to cup your hands a moment and remember your baptism and try to hold that water. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Go ahead, go down there. Keep trying to hold that water. Okay. Kira, Lisa, Kira. It's not a test, so just do your best. Let us pray. Lisa, having been born by water and Spirit, may you continue to grow as a faithful disciple of Jesus. And having professed your desire to covenant by the Spirit's leading to be a member of this faith community, may God infuse your life and living with the witness of the risen Christ in all you do and all your days. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Kira, having been born by water and Spirit, may you continue to grow as a faithful of Jesus all your days. Having professed Jesus and your desire by the Spirit's leading to be part of this faith community, may your witness, your connection, and your life be evidence that Christ reigns in you and is building his kingdom through you. And God's people said, amen. Amen. I invite you to hold this water. Don't let it drop, or try not to. Hang on to that as you head back to your area. Scott, Holly. Each of you do have certificates up here you can get afterwards, huh? You can't carry them while you're cupping water. Let us pray. Scott, having been born by water and Spirit, may you continue to grow as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Having been led by the Holy Spirit to be part and parcel of the covenant that is Aldersgate Church, we pray that God's blessing would continue to shower upon you and be shown and seen through you, in the humility of Christ, but with the boldness of the Spirit, all your days. And all God's people said, amen. Holly, having been born by water and Spirit, may you continue your growth as a faithful follower of Jesus. And Holly, having professed Christ and confirmed the Spirit's leading to be part of Aldersgate Church, might you continue to be a kingdom builder in your everyday, ordinary, walking around life. And may you find that doing that is the best thing you can do for yourself. Promise through the words of Scripture all your days. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Go ahead. Terry, Sharon. I could ask you if you just want to wait till 11 to do this, but
we're okay.
We're here. Sharon, having been born by water and Spirit, may you continue your growth as a faithful disciple of Christ. Having been led by the Holy Spirit in confirming that this is where you are called to be in ministry and in growth, may you all your days be able to fulfill that covenant by Christ's power, and may you continue to grow in your witness and your love for the world that God came to save. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Terry, having been born by water and Spirit, may you continue your growth as a faithful follower of Jesus. And having been confirmed in the Spirit that this is where God wants you to reside and serve and be renourished in worship, may you rise each day and go into the world as a witness for Christ, that others might see you are part of his kingdom and you are a kingdom builder indeed. By his grace and humility we pray. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Go ahead. Wendy, Steve. Megan Elizabeth. Having been born by water and spirit, may you continue to grow as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Having been confirmed in the spirit that God wants you in this place for this time and season, may God continue to call your gifts, employ them, and nourish and sustain you, that your witness for Christ would become bold, grace-filled, and joy-filled all the days of your life. And all God's people said, amen. Steve, having been born by water and spirit, may you continue a growth that is lifelong as a faithful follower of Christ. And having been confirmed that the Holy Spirit has brought you here for this time and season in ministry, and with your children, may you grow each day in your wonder, in your love, in your adoration, and in your openness and availability to Christ, that your witness might be a kingdom witness for a world yearning to know. And all God's people said, amen. Megan, remember your baptism and be thankful. Steve, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. Now, if you'll head back over, the praise team comes into position. How many of you have been able to hang on to that water? Turn around. Oh. Dry. Scott's got a bit of a reservoir going there. The first five of you, show your hands. Lift them up like this. There you go. Little bit. Not good. I don't do these things to be funny or so you think, wow, he's trying to be entertaining. That's not why I do these. Worship, the works of worship, are the primary means by which God refills us with the baptismal grace that keeps us pliable. When we don't gather together, we miss out on that pliability aspect. And the other cool aspect is, as we go from here, we're not gluttons of grace. I'm glad that your hands are dry and growing dry. Scott, do you have like Teflon on your hands there, or what's the deal? I've heard of people that think they have Teflon on when it comes to sin, but yeah, it's still hanging there. But when you and I go into the world, other people should be getting wet. With the grace of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Here we are, Lord. We are here and we are broken, but you've led us to a faith community that knows who the Savior is and knows that Savior was raised with wounds in his side. Help us to be like Isaiah, amazed at your holiness. Help us to be like Paul, committed to be available, vulnerable, and pliable. And help us to be seen with the fruit of the Spirit, to be contagious, perfected, and constantly communicating the agency, the power, the salvation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for these souls that remind us that what you're doing here is not for naught.